Hi everyone. Welcome to Talk Tech with Beta Dave. I'm Alexis, your host of this podcast, along with my dear friend Data Dave. Hi Dave.
Good morning, Alexis. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. I'm excited. Today we have another cloud question. I actually noticed that our cloud podcasts are getting a lot of love, which I'm excited about.
Excellent.
But another cloud question for you. Hope you're ready.
Okay, very good. Let's go for it.
Talk Tech with Data Dave is brought to you by D3 Clarity, offering clarity for improved decision-making. D3 Clarity delivers profitability multipliers through better data and digital infrastructure. For more information, contact D3 Clarity at d3clarity.com. Before we begin, I do want to just throw out there, hey, everybody, if you have a question for Data Dave, please feel free to submit a question to us at talktech@d3clarity.com. Just send us an email and we'll be happy to answer your question on the podcast. Dave, our question today actually came from one of our team members. Why are organizations using a hybrid or a multi-cloud approach? I think I have to start with, can you describe what hybrid and multi-cloud approach kind of mean? And then can you answer the question?
Yes, absolutely. So a multi-cloud approach or hybrid approach is essentially, as it says, hybrid is not pure in any way. It's a mixture of different approaches to computing. Classic hybrid would be on-premise, traditional on-premise computers. I buy the computers, I put them in a computer room, and I manage them myself, linked to a cloud. Now, of course, because we've got multiple clouds, everybody and their brother seems to have a cloud. You can have multiple clouds and link everything together. That becomes what we term a hybrid cloud, where you're operating on premise, you're operating in Microsoft Cloud, you're operating in the Amazon's cloud or Google's cloud, and there's various other smaller clouds that different people offer, whether they're rebadged of the big clouds or whether they're actually private clouds, it doesn't really matter. There's also the idea of a large organization might actually create their data center essentially using cloud shared computing type techniques. So they divorce the machinery from the applications and they operate it as kind of a private cloud. They operate it in that way, the operating model being a shared services model. They'll also have organizations that rent a significant portion of, say, an AWS data center or a Microsoft data center. And so they're permanently ensconced in that cloud, and it becomes a private area of the cloud. So there's multiple sort of structures there. There's on-premise traditional, there's multiple public clouds, and then there's this concept of a private cloud that you own and is run like a cloud. And then you've got the idea where I've bought, purchased, rented a section of the cloud and operate it as a private cloud.
You went through a couple of different terms there. You kind of described hybrid as in using cloud and using something on premise. And then you described a private cloud, taking a section of the cloud and putting it aside so it's just yours. You hit multi-cloud a little bit, but would you mind describing that just a little bit more?
So multi-cloud becomes the idea you're using different services from different providers and they happen to be on different clouds. If you use Microsoft's Office 365 or Office products now, and you're using Office on the cloud, your email is in the cloud, or you're using Gmail, or you're using whatever email provider as a cloud provider for email, then you don't actually know where or how that is running. It is running in the cloud somewhere. And then you're using an application that is in a different cloud. So you might be using Zoom. We're using Zoom right now. Zoom is a cloud-based application. No idea where it's running. No idea. It's on a cloud platform somewhere. I don't know whether it's owned by Zoom or whether they've rented it from AWS, wherever. I don't know. There is a hybrid cloud model just because you happen to be using things from different providers that are essentially hosted somewhere else.
That statement you just made tells me that definitely we use a multi-cloud approach because we use M365 as our suite provider, and then we use AWS to host our website, and then obviously we're using Zoom right now. Is like everybody multi-cloud?
They actually are, probably.
That's what I was hearing. Okay, good.
It's very rare now that you're not multi-cloud because you use different applications for different places and we don't know. And that especially a large organization, they're probably all over the place. Salesforce.com is somewhere in the cloud and PeopleSoft is somewhere in the cloud. And you might be using Oracle's Cloud Suite and Microsoft's Cloud Suite. And you might be doing some Google Analytics for best of breed. You might be doing some AWS work with Chime or hosting your website or using their edge providers or whatever. There's all kinds of things that we use all over the place. So you tend to choose the cloud or choose the application that is best fit for your needs. And then where it's running is becoming less important. Mm-hmm. Now, what that means, as you get more sophisticated, it's fairly straightforward to start with sort of Microsoft email and different things. That's pretty straightforward. If you're a large organization and you want to give your employees a good experience, you want them to have single sign-on across all these services that you've purchased across the board, you need to now get into the multi-cloud technologies and you want to pass your identity from one provider to another provider. So you don't want to re-log on every time. I went to Microsoft, I went to Salesforce.com, I went to Oracle, I went to AWS, and each time you're challenged for your identity. You don't want that. You want to be able to pass your identity across all these clouds.
That's just a good practice because we have to remember so many passwords otherwise.
Exactly. And it's actually more secure to do it as well.
Yeah.
But then you get into the multi-cloud technologies where all the clouds can take a delegated identity or an identity from one of them. The one we use is Azure Active Directory. Then we integrate that with the other providers. That's relatively common. The other thing to think about in hybrid cloud is if you're doing a data platform, if you want to bring all your data together and your data is now spread, of course, across on-premise, in the cloud, different clouds, different places, different applications, your data is spread all over the place. You don't always really know exactly where it is. Now, if you want to do some deep analytics, you want to load it into Snowflake, you want to do a data warehouse, you want to do a extended data lake or something like that, then you want to put the technologies in place. And this is where the multi-cloud and hybrid cloud starts to become more complicated and get more real, is I want to bring together my operations data from Amazon and from Microsoft and from different places and bring it into one place so I can analyze it, do some machine learning, do some AI like we talked about the other day.
Yeah.
Bring all this data here again to make that cadre of data that I can work on. And so this is where you get into the cloud integration technologies and that sort of thing. While it's very common, you still have to pay attention to where is my data, what is my identity as I move around this landscape and as I pull the data together from the different landscape that you have.
What I'm hearing you say is kind of like, as we talked about AI last week, many of us are using a multi-cloud approach and we probably don't even realize it.
Yes.
To some extent, a multi-cloud approach is the best option for a lot of organizations because it offers the opportunity for us to do so many different things. Like you just dropped the word Snowflake in there, and I know Snowflake is a technical term and I don't know what it means, but we're going to put that onto another podcast now. But like that is something that probably is going to be better to run on its own versus having to transition to our cloud to be able to use. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. That's what I was like hearing you say. The initial question, why do organizations use a hybrid or multi-cloud approach? Out of necessity.
It's kind of out of necessity and it's kind of out of best of breed. Each one of the cloud providers have a particular leaning, if you like. They're all good at one thing and not so good at another, to a certain extent. There are differences. So people choose them for different reasons. You're also not necessarily in control of which clouds you use. If you buy an application, if you buy, like we just said, Zoom, I've got no idea where Zoom is running. They could be hosting it on their own cloud. They could be hosting it on AWS somewhere. They could be hosting it on Microsoft. I've got no idea. If you buy into that service, and as software as a service continues to grow, if you buy into a service, you simply don't know. When you get into business applications, say I want to buy an HR management application, and I buy the one from Workday. I'm not advertising Workday. I'm just using us as an example.
Again, though, Workday, if you would like to sponsor Cocktail with Data Dave, just let us know.
Yeah. If you did do that, then Workday have probably already chosen where their instance is going to run for you. But if you want to then pull that data and use it somewhere else, then you have to integrate with that instance of Workday that is running somewhere to get your data out and move it to wherever you're going to work with it and analyze it, because that is all your employee information. So that's valuable information for you. Mm-hmm. If you've chosen to use Microsoft Dynamics, then it's probably... it's Microsoft, so it's going to be running on Azure, probably, or a flavor of Azure. If you then want the data, you've got to integrate with it and pull that. So you're not always in control when you choose these applications. So you choose the application for the benefit of the application. You hire it essentially to do a job. And where it's running is a secondary choice. But when you want the data, you have to pay attention to that choice. And when you log into it, you have to make sure that your identity is recognized by that platform.
That's a perfect kind of short and sweet explanation of that answer. I would love to know if there are other suggestions. If you happen to be watching the video, you see that Dave's backdrop says Data Dave Dives Deeper, which is our bonus podcast. If you're interested in joining us for Data Dave Dives Deeper, where we talk to industry professionals about their life in data and cloud and all things technology, just reach out to us at that Talk Tech email and we'd love to have you on the pod. And we'd love to have this conversation with you and explore your thoughts and opinions on this topic.
Absolutely.
Dave, thank you so much for answering that question today. That was kind of the perfect answer for what could have been a very complicated question.
Yes, absolutely. No worries, Alexis. That was a good question. Very good.
Cool. Don't forget to send us your questions and have a fantastic day. Bye.
Yep. Thank you, everybody. And bye.
If you have a question for Data Dave, reach out to us via email at talktech@d3clarity.com. We'll be happy to answer your questions in the podcast. Thanks. This podcast has been brought to you by D3 Clarity. No one has time or patience to fix all of their data and infrastructure problems. D3 Clarity helps some of the world's most recognizable brands take the right action to turn their information into strategic profit-making. For more information, go to D3 Clarity, that's the letter D, the number 3, the word clarity.com.